Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my friend and excellent co-host, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck's work, get over to ocelli.com. There's a live link right here. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Mom. I don't know how good it is, but here we go again. It seems as though a lot of things have been recycled, including the questions that we might have to ask each other today, but let's get to it.
Well, I haven't talked to you since the Kavanaugh circus was going on. And last week, I think, I can't keep track of the days anymore, I was on Richie Allen's show out of the UK, and I gave people the facts that nobody was covering, especially not the media, and while everybody was getting caught up in the circus that was going on. And I'm not saying that it wasn't a good thing, you know, Dr. Ford, but nobody was paying attention to now we have five Catholics on the Supreme Court backed by the Knights of Malta and the Federalist Society.
Well, you know, not only do you have five Catholics backed by the Knights of Malta and the Federalist Society all together, oh yes, I mean, I know Clarence Thomas is asleep most of the time, but that's okay. You know, not only that, but let's rewind just a touch and go back before there was this issue with Kavanaugh and what he might have done and exactly how wild he was in school or as a kid or whatever, and exactly what he did or did not do to Dr. Ford. Let's rewind for a second.
Sure.
This guy is also the same person who ruled in favor of the CIA in his last decision regarding, guess what? Information about an agent who was inserted into investigations in the government on the JFK assassination. Oh, believe it or not, that's true. Check it out. Against Jefferson Morley. He ruled in favor of the CIA to let them keep on evading, allowing documents to be released. This is the same individual who rules in favor of the corporations, who believes that the president should not ever be subject to prosecution, who basically, you know,
gave us 7% of his papers, the same guy that approved torture and everything else under George W. Bush.
That's right, right. Remember all of the uproar that those of us who, you know, had consciences thought it was absolutely horrific that these shark-type lawyer people decided to come up with justifications for torturing human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Well, guess who helped write that stuff? This guy.
Exactly. So people, you know, this is, you know, listen, I'm not saying that what he did or didn't do as a young man. I mean, he does, you know, he has all the markings of a drunk. Whether he's a dry drunk or an active drunk is doesn't really make any difference. But if you think about it, you know, what was it, just a couple of months ago when Serena Williams threw a little fit at one of her games and they said she was hysterical and she was having a meltdown? But when a man does it in front of the whole world on live TV, nobody says he's hysterical or having a meltdown. And it's clear that he's a partisan hack.
Well, you know, absolutely. We're going to go back to the Clintons. This is on Revenge of the Clintons. You know, they waited quite a long time from the time that he wanted to make sure he knew exactly what it was that Monica swallowed to take their vengeance upon him, huh? Because remember, he was involved in that, too. You know, this is the thing. This guy was scum before there was ever an allegation of this. And look, you know what? I'll even be as objective and forgiving as possible and think to myself that there's a serious misunderstanding here. that an idiotic, drunk moron who thinks he can get away with anything decided to tackle a woman and did literally assault her, but thought he was just playing around and was probably blacked out. You know what? That's about as forgiving as I can go on this, because I'm telling you right now, listening to that whole thing, watching the testimony, because I was locked on it. I don't know. Did you actually watch the Blasey Ford testimony?
I watched some of it. I couldn't. Listen, there was just too much going on for me to watch every minute of every day with that thing. It was just too much.
Oh, no, but just her testimony.
Oh, yeah, I did. And she was totally believable.
Well, not only was she believable, but here's the thing. And this is not, oh, there's Chuck being a feminist. No, this is not Chuck being a feminist. This is Chuck being a human being. And I want you to wrap your minds around this. A whole lot of people were certainly emotionally moved for a good reason, because they could identify something that was happening here.
Right.
And, you know, just going to tell you from my personal perspective, it's not only women who have been sexually abused at certain points.
Of course not.
So
look at
guess
the church.
What? You know, I could empathize with that because, look, I can admit that in my childhood this occurred to me, and I got to tell you something. This is not uncommon. So, for those that are being honest and who have experienced this kind of thing, whether you are a woman or you were a girl or you were a boy or you were a man, because, you know, believe it or not, men do actually get sexually assaulted on occasion too.
Of course.
You know, but regardless, you knew what you were listening to was legit from her side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all there is to it.
Well, and then we got a sham investigation, which, you know, Trump, who hates the FBI most of the time, seemed to love the FBI when he said you can only interview 4 out of 30 people. And then when he's swearing him in, which was another freak show, he said that it proved him innocent. No, it didn't. That was, if you want to call that an investigation, I've never seen such a waste of time in my life.
Well, look, there had to be a little bit of lip service so we could play the game of, hey, look, we did everything we were supposed to do. The most remarkable thing, that show with Trump was after the actual swearing in. Because that was done, you know, with protesters being pushed off the steps of the Supreme Court and all that, remember?
Right.
But that show was nothing compared to these five, I guess it was five, I think it's five, five old men getting together and sitting there angrily declaring that we've done our best and the Democrats are an angry mob. You know, what is this?
Right. Well, the angry mob, I thought those were the guys in Charlottesville who all looked like Kavanaugh with their tiki torches. Or you see the ugly faces of the wild, whipped-up maniacs at his paid audience and at his rallies. I mean, that he doesn't consider that a mob. Listen, my thing is, this guy came in, he so far has destroyed every normal, and not saying any of them were any good to start with, any normalcy in this country. He's already destroyed, you know, anybody's faith, everything from the media to the FBI to now the Supreme Court, which, you know, I have no use for the Supreme Court since they gave the election to Bush in 2000. Yeah. And if this didn't happen with Kavanaugh, Chuck, this is the first time I've seen the mainstream media cover the Supreme Court's decision in 2000. It took them 18 years to even mention it.
Yeah, well, you know, Bush v. Gore or whatever, and that was that. I mean, you just handed, you know, stop counting. The election's over. Great. And by the way, we're only going to intervene this one time, so
right.
Don't ask us to do it again.
And their reasoning was that if they allowed the recount, it would do irreparable harm to George W. Bush. I mean, you know, and then you get people online who want to argue that with me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been covering that stolen election now for 18 years.
Look, and we always bring it up, and not because, and here's the thing, not because I think Al Gore would have been any better. I got to tell you, I think we would have had a different scenario, but some other disastrous scenario would have been introduced because we needed a problem reaction solution, and somebody had to create a different problem if it was Al Gore in the office.
Well,
because,
yeah.
You know, we would have had a different 9/11.
But the bottom line is, they proved right then and there that your vote doesn't count and your vote isn't counted. So everybody's got their hopes set on these midterms, flipping whatever. But they don't understand that your vote doesn't matter. I mean, I learned that in high school. You know, when I was in high school back in the Stone Age, they taught us in civics class, which they no longer teach in school, that the Electoral College really picks the president. And I remember telling my teacher, what's the point in voting?
See, now I remember saying, well, does that mean that theoretically we could hand over our votes to these, you know, to these individuals who are supposed to cast that vote and they could change it? And they said, well, theoretically, sure, but it never really happens.
Yeah,
I
right.
Said, oh, okay. So, because...
what?
You know,
you interviewed...
I just shook my head. You know, that was it.
Right. You interviewed Jonathan Simon on Code Red. You know, and he does the, he says the same thing to me that I hear from Donald Jeffries with his book, Survival of the Richest. I'm like the only person still promoting both of those books at least once a week. Because unless people understand their, you know, that their vote doesn't count, how they flip the vote, and that the problem is class warfare, they're going to keep fighting with each other, whether you're fighting black against white, young against old, woman now against man. They keep us busy fighting amongst each other because they're afraid that we'll take the fight where it belongs to them.
Well, you know, again, these two guys I've had both on, and I'll tell you, that is the ultimate message. And that's what I keep coming to during these discussions is, hey, look, the more I'm arguing with you or the more I'm arguing with somebody else, the less I'm paying attention to the people that are really just pushing through whatever they want.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned something earlier about paid protesters, because, you know, this is now the new, oh, everybody's paid. Even Blasey Ford, right? They make all these crazy claims about how she was probably going to get paid somehow, and she's under mind control and all this. It's very interesting to me that, well, first of all, I want to say something, because today, as we speak, Donald Trump Jr. is in my state. Thank you.
Yeah.
And also, so is Elizabeth Warren, because of the governor's race here, where you have, you know, really a despicable human being running against Stacey Abrams, who is being made to look like a despicable human being. Not sure who is, actually. But either way, interesting that these paid protesters keep coming up, and paid, you know, and paid operatives, paid people at the rallies, paid, you know, it's fascinating, because they keep telling us the economy's going real well.
Right.
I wonder why there's so many people available to be paid protesters and paid rally participants and things if they have steady jobs elsewhere, number one. Number two, you know, I'm available, guys. I could use some money.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you want, hire me as a I will definitely be an interesting protester. Hire me.
Right.
But look, realistically, all jokes aside, there are legitimate things that are starting to well up. And here's one of the ugliest parts of it that I think a lot of people don't want to wrap their minds around. Why is this happening? Why is there the rise of this, you know, side of the equation that doesn't care about the other side of the equation, you know? And they were always there. The Trump supporters were always there. They were always just sitting and waiting, and some of them hiding in the Republican Party. But realistically, these people who are xenophobic and absolutely, I mean, I don't know how much other kinds of racism and anger and blame anyone else who is not them, they were sitting there waiting to be picked up, and they've been picked up. That's the truth of it. Now there's some backlash to it. I just, but what's funny is you go to the, well, gee, we'll bring a blue wave.
Right.
I don't think this is going to solve it. This is going to take something innovative. I got to say, and casting your vote and all this other nonsense, we just went over. That's not what's going to count. What's going to count is the way that we try and encourage each other and change this equation so that there's not this disgruntled, ignorant mass sitting there waiting to get outraged because white men are under attack on the one side, and on the other side, a completely incoherent, almost bipolar reaction.
Right.
I mean, you and I get angry because human beings are being trounced upon or being trampled upon by these greater mechanisms. Well, I'm not here on behalf of the Democrats. I'm not here thinking, oh, well, the liberalism will save us all. You know, it doesn't. It doesn't. Not when you join one of these teams, because they're all bought and paid for by somebody. Right now, the Catholic Church is winning. Right now, the grand corporations are winning. Right now, you know, anybody who can grift and graft off of the military-industrial complex, they are winning in every single area that can be. But it doesn't have to continue to be this way. Mm-hmm. Sad is the situation as far as I'm concerned, but you know what? I'm not going to surrender on this. There has got to be a better way to do all of this, and it's not choose one side or the other, flip a coin red or blue. Am I right or wrong?
No, I think you're right. Listen, I've said it many years, many times on my show. If you're waiting for somebody else to save us, you got a long wait. We're the ones we've been waiting for. You know, and until people get that, you know, it truly is class warfare, which, believe it or not, was one of the very first shows I did, you know, 18 years ago, was on class warfare. I believe the author of the book I had interviewed on was Charles Kelly. And then, of course, you know, I continued that theme all these years, all the way to Survival of the Richest. And until people understand who really runs this world, and who the problems are. You know, before the show, I was telling you how I cracked up yesterday on that story from the Israeli Times about the 10 richest people. Five of the 10 richest people in America are Jews. And, you know, when you look at that, I'm not blaming the Jews. The bottom line was you got, I think they said 400 people now in America that have all the money, okay? Mm-hmm. But these 400 people are so well insulated and protected, most people don't even know who they are. So we keep fighting with each other for whatever there are leftover scraps. You know, and it's really, really sickening. I did want to mention this morning's breaking news, Another One Bites the Dust. We can do an Another One Bites the Dust segment. Nikki Haley resigned as ambassador to the UN. Did you see that?
Whoa, you know, I saw a story about it, and I did not think that it was confirmed. Has it been confirmed she's gone?
She's gone. She'll be out by the end of the year.
Huh.
And, of course, you know, she's not doing it because she's going to run for president in 2020. I don't know what hallucinatory drug she's on to think somebody would vote for her. But she's also being investigated now. For as like the rest of Trump's cabinet, you know, using taxpayer dollars for her own personal gain. But when I first saw the story, my first thought was, if you watched her at the UN, she was very strong on Russia. And I think that was it was just the same as, you know, the enmity between Trump and Sessions. Because here's Trump, you know, who's still, you know, begrudgingly trying to enforce the sanctions against Russia, which still haven't been enforced. And she's all inflamed about Russia at the UN. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, it could be that, or it could be that bottom line here is that the only people that were attracted to serving under Trump are people that need to be investigated.
Right.
You know, and another big story that came across during the time, in between the time you and I spoke, you know, the self-made millionaire, not exactly a self-made millionaire.
Right.
At least not by the age of 8 when he was a multimillionaire because daddy was funneling money to him after padding invoices and things like that. And everybody thinks that's a big joke and who wouldn't cheat the tax man? Okay, fine. But, you know, I don't even, and here's the thing, I don't care that he's cheating the tax man. Anybody who's rich is effectively cheating the tax man. I got news for you.
Right.
But that's not the issue. The issue is real people actually got injured in the making of that millionaire. You understand? Because there were individuals that were winding up paying increases on rent and things like that, improvements to their hovels that were barely being maintained by the Fred Trump organization with padded invoices so the kiddies could grab up the free money.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what that is.
I watched a special on that, and it was probably on YouTube, where his father was giving him literally $200,000 in today's money since he was 3 years old. And his father ended up giving him, you know, he always said, oh, my father gave me my first million. No, it was $413 million.
Right.
And then it wasn't enough for the greedy pig. He tried to write a new will for his father while his father was still alive Because his father, of course, didn't want to see his whole empire that he worked for built, you know, totally destroyed by his son. But that's what ended up happening anyway. But think of the nerve of a child trying to rewrite their parents' will while they're still alive in their favor.
Well, you know, but they keep telling us the economy's doing great, Maria.
Yeah, well, I haven't made dollar one this month, so before I go into a panic, I want to see where maybe I can go be a paid protester out in the street. Maybe George Soros will give me some money.
Hey, listen, like I said, if the Soros operatives are listening, I'm willing to get one of those paychecks that I keep hearing about because they must be pretty good.
Listen, last night I finally got to see the movie Chappaquiddick on Netflix.
Oh, boy.
About Ted Kennedy's little drive off a cliff with Mary Jo Kopechne. And I'm sure it was sanitized quite a bit. However, you see that even back in those days, okay, it was 1969, you see all the fixers his father calls in. All the fixers, like, and all I could think of was Michael Cohen. You see the fixers, you see the cleanup crew, you know, the cleaners, all kinds of things. And then even though we're supposed to believe he legitimately wanted to admit the truth from the get-go, he didn't, okay? The thought of power and losing his position was probably more than he could take. So I looked at that and I said, what's changed? Do you know what I mean? Truthfully, what's changed? We got the same bullshit story there. You know, they said, oh, he has a concussion. Oh, well, he can't talk to the press. He has a concussion. His doctor has him on sedatives. Well, when they told that to a New York Times reporter, he said, well, if you have a concussion, no doctor would put you on sedatives. And I thought about all the bullshit lies of the JFK autopsy and the original doctor who knew how he was shot, I destroyed my notes. All right. And you look at that and you say, you know, nothing's changed in America. People still want to believe the myths of America. But none of them were true.
Well, the interesting thing about Chappaquiddick, though, Maria, and I provide you with a strange counter-argument. It was also a good time to sideline Teddy Kennedy. And they couldn't put a bullet in another guy named Kennedy.
There is a possibility that
was a setup.
I thought that myself, too, even when it was happening. Because he knew from that point on there was no way he could be president. I think he ran in the 80s, didn't get the nomination, never did it again.
Right, 1980, a half-hearted attempt to run against Jimmy Carter, I think, you know, for that particular, because the sitting president on the Democratic side during the time when Reagan winds up taking the presidency, that year is when he decides to run, and it was very half-hearted. I mean,
right.
Long after the all of the goodwill that could have been seized upon from his brothers could have been utilized. You know, remember, he took over the seat in the Senate that his brother had. And I'm not saying that Ted Kennedy was a good guy, not at all. What I'm saying is that when it comes to, you know, who wound up there versus who got sidelined and for what reason, sometimes you got to look at these things a little deeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, I often thought that myself. I still do. But, you know, the only thing I can tell you besides walking away with, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, is I did have a curiosity because I really like young Joe Kennedy. And, you know, I wonder, you know, would he be any different?
Yeah, well, when you take a look at a lot of the people named Kennedy and a lot of the people that came out of that family afterwards, I think that well is kind of dry as far as people that are going to be willing to run for office. And look, if my name was Kennedy and I was connected to that family, I don't think I would want to stick my head out if I wanted to actually accomplish anything.
Well, look, today you can't stick your head out for any reason. You know, Christine Ford can't go back home. She's still getting death threats. A lot of women candidates are getting death and rape threats. A lot of female reporters are getting rape threats. One guy that I follow on Twitter, I think his name is Ed Krasenstein, he posted a threat he got, and he said, I'm going to keep on posting on Twitter. But it was so defined. The threat was so defined. Find out where this guy lives, get some snipers, form a triangular this and that. And I'm looking at this and saying, people are now going to be scared shit to even voice their own opinion, not just from the police state, but from lunatics out there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's heavy duty what's going on now.
Well, when you're opposing the anointed one, because here's the other scary thing. I don't know if you saw the documentary that was recently put out by this Christian university.
No, I read about it, though. I didn't want to see it. I can't handle the fake Christian crap. But, you know, a lot of people truly believe that God put Trump in office.
Right.
And you know what? God did, the God of this world.
See, that's the thing, is the ruler at the moment might have wanted to have this guy in there because I guess you gotta bottom out when it comes to intellectual properties and you know, the reality of the situation. But again, hey, the economy's doing well, Maria, isn't it?
I'm not seeing it. And I'll tell you what, I still got the same friends working three jobs just to get by.
You know what? So do I. And again, as I brace, by the way, for this storm again. You know, here we go. You know, FEMA's all ready. Don't worry. We're ready to respond like we did in Puerto Rico. I mean,
Well, FEMA hasn't done that jack squat for the people from the last hurricane in the Carolinas and Virginia. They're still underwater. Nobody talks about it. I don't think I saw one post about the Carolinas from the Twitter in chief.
No, he's saying that, you know, FEMA's all ready and we're ready to respond, you know, and he's spoken to the governor of Florida so far, but they are declaring an emergency. See, I'm in Georgia, so I'll be the second one hit, you know, after it lands in Florida.
Right.
And, you know, they've declared a state of emergency across the majority of the counties in Georgia ahead of this, which, you know... Hey, and again, there's nothing wrong with the weather. This isn't unusual or anything, is it?
Well, you know, listen, you have so many articles now, almost every day, about the climate catastrophe we're facing by 2030. And I'm like, are these people kidding? Don't they see the climate catastrophe we're already in? I mean, look at Indonesia. They get a 7.5, get a tsunami, and then a volcano blows on the same island. Okay. You look at Japan and the typhoons. You look at all these superstorms, right? And all I can think of is many years ago, Chuck, when I studied with Sun Bear, who taught me the medicine wheel, he was a man that covered the news, too. And I used to think it was odd. Now I understand because I do the same thing. But he said that you will see the day where number 10 earthquakes become the norm, where Category 8 hurricanes become the norm. And, of course, his reasoning for it was, and I talked about it with Michael Rakir on the show last week, we have what I call a lack of the sacred. No one cares about nature. No one is respectful to nature. Look, we're not even respectful to each other. And man in his, you know, brilliance, you know, with the 5G networks and the Wi-Fis and the weaponry, and now they want to bio-weaponize bugs for crops and use it as a bio-weapon. When man plays God, all things will go bad. And when man goes against nature, they're always going to lose.
That's a guarantee. And with weather manipulation and robo-bees and, you know... Whatever it is they're spraying over our heads, I mean, come on. You know, you expect nothing to go sideways.
I know, and clones and robots. But, you know, this 5G network is going to be one of the most dangerous things ever. And even though all the mayors around the country are arguing it, they realize they lost their power to argue it to the FCC.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they, like I said, the God of this world put the right man in place to destroy it all.
That's a guarantee.
You know, but, you know, listen, even the Bible says that this planet is in the hands of the wicked ones. And it's like, man, could that be any truer? All right. Chuck, let's take a short break. When we get back, let's talk about what's going on with you and YouTube. So stay with us, Chuck, and I'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do four shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to Hell and High Water with myself and Chuck O'Chelly. That was a quick first half, as I'm sure you will agree. But there's always so much going on that, you know, we could do this show once a week and not run out of things to talk about. Chuck, I understand you're having some more flack with YouTube. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They did restore my channel after I had to go to some extraordinary means. And it's a funny thing, because ever since it was restored, something was a little off. Now, recently, despite however many subscribers there might be or how much exposure there should be, or given norms from the past posting videos with certain personalities in them and things like that, it appears as though numerically I've been reduced to about one-tenth of the exposure that was there previously. And a lot of people have noticed a change in the algorithms and a change in the way that the searches are behaving. But it's funny, I've got, Jordan Maxwell, who is a longtime voice, let's say, in alternative thought. Let's just give him that label right there. Somebody who's, you know, taught a lot of people a lot of things. I mean, you're familiar with Jordan and his work, Maria, right?
Yes, I am.
So, you know, the thing is, whatever you think of him, I'm doing a series on religion with him, which should be a key thing that people tune into, you know, discussing how the entire story of Christ is effectively a metaphor, and it is based on the astrological movements in the sky.
Right.
Okay? Things like this, and I've done a 10, 11-part series with him. Now, normally, I put a video with him talking about the weather, and I get 6,000-7,000 views. No problem. It's turned into 100.
Right.
And I've had, you know, videos with the guy where I've gotten 60,000 views over the course of a couple of weeks and things like that. All gone. We're talking 200, 300, 100. People that I used to get 200, 300, 500 views with on YouTube after I posted a show are getting 20. This is where we're at. I'm now getting, you know, kind of crushed down, and I have people telling me, I don't see you on YouTube, and I don't see you on Google, and I don't see you on these search engines anymore. Are you still doing stuff? Because they're not necessarily going to the website. And look, I appreciate any view or any time somebody spends taking a listen to what it is I do, or taking a look at something I put out. I appreciate it. But the fact is that expecting to be out there as something that is searchable and available to be found. See, here we go. Maria is sitting there thinking, I told you this already some years ago. That unless you have your own place and you bring people to it, they're not going to hear you. Well, I guess you knew exactly what Google and YouTube was going to do, because they took away the open market effectively.
Of course.
And I'm not the only one.
This is how, you know, this is how propaganda spreads, you know, if they don't have any voices for truth out there. So they do it two ways. You know, not only that, but they hurt your pocketbook. If they can't shut you up one way, they'll break your bank. You know, I mean, I will tell you this, I haven't been on a 30-day ban, still am, on Facebook twice in 3 months. That's cost me some serious money just because of no exposure.
Right.
So they find ways to break you one way or the other. But at least, if it'll cheer you up any, I remember years ago when I had Phil Turney on my show. I don't know if you know who Phil was or is, but Phil is one of the survivors of the USS Liberty.
Right.
And what Phil shared with me was they made threats against his children to try to shut him up. Because these people are cowards, okay, and they're sneaks. So they try to find a way, you know, one way or the other, they try to attack your vulnerability. And, you know, they're not man enough to come directly after you. So they use all these little, you know, little sleights of hand, we'll call it, to stop you, to stop truth. And listen, who knows with these new FCC regulations, how long, you know, even people be able to get to our websites.
Well, the, you know, there's that. And then, look, I get some of those death threats, too. Probably not nearly as many as Mr. Turney got. Okay. But I get the death threats, too. And you also, you know, can easily see why it is I no longer even post pictures of my son on social media or anything like that. I've gone into a protective mode. I don't mind, you know, that people have harsh things to say to me. You're not going to intimidate me. In fact, the only thing you do is make me smile when you threaten my life.
It only makes Italians angrier. They don't get that. Look at Michael Avenatti. No matter how much shit they sling his way, he just gets angrier.
That guy kills me. You know what? It's funny. I want to check with you on a couple of TV things. Really quickly, because you just mentioned Avenatti. I was watching that show, The Circus. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's a Showtime series, so you know you might have to find it through some other means. But if you get a chance, take a look at the episode where they're sitting there with Avenatti, and when he's releasing stuff and he's dealing with these different things, and they were threatening to come after him legally when he found out information on Michael Cohen. And all that stuff, they're sitting there with him with a camera. This guy is exactly what with it. It's like stereotypical. I know this is exactly how an Italian thinks. It is really fascinating. Please, please do not assume that Rudy Giuliani represents Italians, by the way.
Right.
But it is really interesting to watch that, first of all. Second of all, did you catch the cartoon president thing I told you about?
Yes, I've watched a few of them.
Tell me that is not just absolutely brilliant. And the only problem that they're going to have now in the future is coming up with something that is worthy of being a cartoon parody of something that is already so outlandish and a parody of what it is intended to be in reality. Tell me that's not their problem going forward.
Oh, I agree. I mean, when I look at, you know, late night comedians, I always watch their opens on YouTube every night. They're more like news reporters because you can't make the craziness sound any crazier than it is.
Right.
So it's got to be real hard to write material now, especially in our politically correct atmosphere where everybody's feelings get hurt over everything. You know what I mean?
Although you got to give it to a guy who I don't normally like, Matt Damon. For being Judge Kavanaugh.
He hit it out of the park. That was one of the best opens they've ever had, as far as I'm concerned. And if people missed it, you can YouTube it. You know, this week's show was kind of disappointing as far as I was concerned. It's almost like, I think they almost like they got the air knocked out of them. You know, when I watch this, and I want to get back to YouTube for a minute because I have something I want to say.
Okay.
There's these, all of a sudden, there seems to be all kinds of psychics and channelers on YouTube, all right? Whether they're reading cards, whether this one guy is channeling the man in the moon. And for a while, I watched this guy because I couldn't really figure out, does he know what he's talking about? Doesn't he? Because he says things people want to hear, okay?
Right.
You know, like the Trump's going down and absolutely no, Kavanaugh's not going to get in. He even called how people were going to vote on it. But I don't pay too much attention, but I look at their stats, okay? The worst of the worst. They're getting 11,000, 14,000 views. And I'm thinking, you know, if that channel's monetized, these people are making some good money. And yesterday, because he went dark, this one particular guy went dark when Kavanaugh got the nomination, right? When he got confirmed. But last night he put up a video apologizing for being wrong and that nobody's perfect and you don't get it all the time. You know, you don't hit right all the time. But he was so definitive in what he said that I waited to see how it was going to shake out, to see whether I'd give this guy any credibility, all right? And I like him. He's a likable personality. But when I thought about it and I watched, you know, maybe the first 5 minutes of his apology, then I was like over it. But I said to myself, the problem that people put into these TV psychics or whatnot, or, you know, all kinds of weird people, I said, is these people have no idea what the truth is. They have no idea of what's really going on the planet. They just do their little, you know, metaphysical thing. And they don't understand the way the system works. So if they think they can call something based on superficial knowledge, it's never going to happen. Okay. I can honestly tell you, Chuck, I knew he'd get in because I know how the system works. Yeah, I didn't need to be a psychic to tell you that there's no way this guy wasn't going to get in. As far as the midterms, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a sure thing. You got maybe a 30-70% chance that the Democrats will get in. Why? Not because I'm a psychic, but because I read Code Red, okay? And the only reason I would think the Democrats could get in is Jonathan points out and teaches you in his book how every now and then they throw it to the Democrats.
No, and that's exactly right. Look, I said from day one, and there were people trying to tell me, oh, you're wrong, you don't understand the level of outrage that's going to come at us. I said, listen, unless this guy is cracking open a crying fetus and drinking from it on live TV, guess what?
Right.
He's in. That's it. That's the only way. And what he did, that ridiculous display when he was sitting there snapping back at members of Congress, I wonder how that would have played in his courtroom,
right,
by the way. You know, just checking. I know it's not a criminal
right
proceeding.
Or if he has to rule on a case where they only show him 7% of the evidence.
Yeah, that too, 7% of the evidence. Let's keep most of this, you know. Oh, well, he gave over more documents. The reason why he gave over more documents is because there was an immense volume of crap that was probably irrelevant that they could hand over.
Right.
The whole thing was set from the beginning. There was no way that it was going to change. Didn't matter what you came forward with. I mean, you would have required a videotape,
right,
of him standing there staring into it saying, I'm going to rape this woman, and jumping on her. Maybe that would have swayed a couple of votes.
Right.
But otherwise, as I said, and I said it from the beginning, there is no way the system doesn't take this guy in. He's set. He's done.
Exactly.
And as far as these elections go, you're right. The only reason why they would throw it over to him is because it won't make that much of a difference to throw it over to the Democrats this year, because then you can set things up for 2020.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. But, you know, people don't understand that's the way the game is played. And I'll tell you what, the only one that got the vote number exactly right, believe it or not, was Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so back in the day, I used to say the only people that can predict the future well are science fiction writers. Now I'm going to say stand-up comedy writers.
Right. And, you know, as an addendum to that YouTube thing that you were just talking about, it is amazing to me the redundant, absolutely ridiculous nonsense that is allowed to prosper on YouTube. At this point, they have set things up so that, you know, they're on the black GooTube, as it were, because let's just call it GooTube, by the way. GooTube is set up specifically for garbage now.
Well, okay? Like Facebook.
Yeah, well, like Facebook, right, because what do you get in Facebook? Have you even taken a look at your news feed?
There's no news in it. I mean, yeah. Listen, I found this out the last 30 days, but now that I can be a ghost again, you know, I quickly go through it and I look through the news feed. There's no news. All the news sources that I use, none of them are there. And all there is hate, stupid memes, more hate, ignorance, and that's it. So, you know, I'm going to try to control myself when I do get back on to just use it to post my shows and maybe a little daily affirmation. But when I pop up Twitter every morning, I get all the top news stories. It's not bullshit. It's not any of those memes. It's not any of that crap. Who knows how long that'll last? I've already gotten two warnings on Twitter, by the way. But I don't care. See, the difference is I don't care. I have my voice. I have my own space to put my voice out there. Whether millions listen or not, I don't care about the millions, okay? Most people that are alive today are not going to make what's coming down the road. I've always known that. I've known that since I was 5 years old. And the older I get, the longer I live, the more I realize people truly don't deserve this planet. You know, when they're talking about the planet becoming uninhabitable by 2013 and how the human race is going to go and blah, 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 I say, it's better for the planet. I hate to say it. Okay. And I try to have these discussions, you know, with the people I do bump into during the day. You know, mostly it's my gym crowd. That's my period of socialization every day. But you know what? No one's watching the news at the gym anymore. No one wants to talk about politics anymore. Everybody's blown out. And that's a scary place to be on one hand, but it's a good place on another.
Well, see, that's the thing. Remember about a year ago when you and I were doing this show and I said there is an exhaustion beginning to set in on those of us that are doing this with a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. You can't even begin to keep track of this. And you were saying, oh, I got to expand. I was going to do less shows. I got to do more shows because there's more going on. And the more we do, the more they just gin this whole thing up. And the more this stuff is released. And, you know, again, all these news stories get lost in the melee of constant disasters and constant, you know, hey, there's more trouble coming. Hey, there's more trouble coming. Right. But the stock market's doing good.
I know. Every day is like whiplash. It's like, here's a new whiplash. Well, first of all, the market's not doing so good. Second of all, the International Monetary Fund today cut their global growth forecast, and they're blaming it on the trade war between the United States and its trading partners. A while back, I had an economist on my show, Joe Meyer, who contacted me last week basically in a panic, saying, Marie, you got to get me on your show. Another crash is coming. I got to tell your listeners what's coming. So I've got him coming on the 23rd. I read his newsletter and I agreed with it. If people don't see the writing on the wall, I don't know what it's going to take with another $3 trillion tax giveaway to the rich that's been happening and got signed, passed by the House, while the Kavanaugh hearing was going on.
Oh, yeah, pay no attention to that. I mean, look, tonight I have, it's funny, I have the guy from Wall Street Window, Mike Swanson, on, who is, you know, an interesting guy, follows the markets. He was a hedge fund manager, this kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what he said on the show a couple of weeks ago is that, look, I've withdrawn from the market.
I never had any money in the market, or no money to play the market anyway.
Well, no, listen, neither do I, but I'm just saying that when the guy who is tracking this stuff...
Right, when he says I'm gone, right.
You know, I would be interested to hear about the possible crash because I can't get anybody to admit that we are going into... Now, here's the thing. I'm not a financial guy. I never had enough money to play with to learn, okay? Very simple, but I will say this, that if you take notice of every single major crash in the market and the beginning of every single deep recession over the past... Oh, let's just go 50 years.
It's always when the GOP is in office. Always.
Well, not only is it when the GOP is in office, but it's also after a rally, after these tax incentives are allowed to go to the corporations. Mm-hmm. There's a bubble which is then formed, and then it bursts every single time. I'm serious. Go back and look at it.
Absolutely.
The housing bubble, back to the tech bubble, back to the banking crisis, you know, during the Reagan years, back to the stagflation that occurred during Ford. Every one of these major financial catastrophes is preceded by all of the stuff we're seeing right now.
Absolutely.
There's one problem, though. You know these big tax incentives and releases of money to the corporations that are supposed to come out, you know, in a way to stimulate the economy and all that? They reversed the order this time, where these tax incentives and all this stuff have come out ahead of the crash, which means that when the crash occurs, there's no way for the government to respond, because the $1 trillion that's been added to the deficit this year, or excuse me, that's been added to the debt this year, because it is the deficit this year, and it'll be a trillion before the end of the year. Some people are projecting $800 billion or whatever. Mm-hmm. Telling you, trillion. Guess what? This is exactly the pattern. And that's the thing to remember, is that there are people that have the skin in the game to be able to manipulate the situation so they gain, whether things are crashing or the bubble is inflating.
Of course.
Okay, one way or the other.
Of course. They don't lose. No, you know, all these big corporations that got these tax breaks, they reinvested in their corporation. And nobody's, you know, look at Amazon. All right. Bernie Sanders thought he did a great thing by getting Amazon to raise their hourly pay to $15 an hour. But, you know, and Amazon wanted to make themselves look like they were, you know, being the heroes of the world. But what, you know, the next day, of course, I dug out the stories that that $15 an hour now costs those people their bonuses and their stock options. So they're actually getting paid less.
Well, yeah. Well, legitimately, in some places, they're actually going to get paid more. But here's the fun part of it. It removes the incentive for them to be able to participate in the company, which is interesting because I bet that we're going to see the next, you know, we had Apple become the $1 trillion company. How much you want to bet that Amazon is going to somehow come up with a way now to, you know, exceed Apple? Okay? In which case, those things will be worth more money. Sure, you got a little more money in your paychecks, but still, to this day, and I bring up this standard all the time, and I have to adjust it a little bit now. You require how much money per hour to be able to be paid the same type of wage that you were in 1968 as a minimum wage earner? What would it be in today's dollars, Maria? Do you know?
I would think it's about $25.
Yeah, I have to adjust to between $25 and $28 dollars per hour because of the increased cost in housing as of late. But $25 is a good round number to work with. So do you know anybody that's getting $25 for minimum wage anywhere? I mean, even with Amazon increasing to $15?
No.
No,
of course
you don't.
Not. Listen, this week I noticed in my dipshit town, all right, you understand that in the summer they always jack up the price of gas. But this week, the price of gas is $2.98 a gallon, where at the beginning of the summer, it was 2.25. So, you know, and Trump wants more taxes on gas. He wants to, you know, bleed us dry. So my $50 every 3-day trip to the grocery store is now $70 every 3 days. All right, so that's how I judge inflation by, you know, because listen, I'm a vegetarian. I pretty much buy the same food all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not like I added any exotic items to my shopping cart. It's the same stuff. And when you look at that, you know what's coming. You don't have to be, listen, I've lived through these inflationary periods, you know, when you were just a boy. I bought my second house, and I was happy and lucky, think about this, to get in at an interest rate. This was in, God, I want to say 1985. I got an interest rate of 9.5%, and I thought that was a deal. The next year under Reagan, my next door neighbor, same house, 18% interest on her mortgage.
Right.
So, you know, people don't want to look at the facts. And, you know, money is never taught to us in school. Economics is not something I think most kids get a class in school. I know because my own grandchildren don't know how to write a check. So you look at it and it's like the money mystery. But, you know, you look at the strikes going on in the country. I might be the only person covering how many different people are on strike in America right now. Ford is saying they're going to start laying people off because they already lost $1 billion because of Trump's tariffs. you know, this deal they made, the new bullshit NAFTA, is the same NAFTA, except it really has a lot of protections for Republican-aligned industries built into it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, you know, even with the tariffs, look at Mike Pence. He destroyed his own state. I think Lindsey Graham's state is the one where he, you know, tried to get pardons. I'll call it pardons for his businesses against the tariffs. You know, they protect themselves and screw everybody else.
Right.
But if people think the world economy is going to keep spinning, they're wrong. And, you know, listen, when you know when that happens, war always follows. That's history.
Well, see, that's the thing is when you have one of these crashes, there's only a couple of responses. And, you know, last time we didn't have an acceleration of warfare in 2008, which, by the way, we're due. It's every 10 years. Take a look at the calendar again, right?
Mm-hmm.
2008, go back to, 2000. Around every 10 years, we have one of these calamities in the economy, which are absolutely engineered. And one of the answers, yes, indeed, is war. When
of
you
course.
Can't pull yourself out of it, especially, this is the way to go. I mean, when we had things pop in before W came into office, we should have known that there was going to be a war. Now, did we know that we were going to engage in this new crusade, which he wound up having to take back?
Right.
No, but, you know, you kind of almost knew, okay, well, we're going to war somewhere, because we're going to have to gin up that jobs program just to make it look like, you know, we're not totally failing, because the only thing we have to export at this point is what? The military.
Well, that's been our number one export all along, is the war machine. We'll
exactly.
sell weapons to anybody with the money. I mean, I'm sure you saw that old movie with Nicolas Cage, Lords of War.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's right in your face. Anyway, Chuck, I can't believe it, but we're totally out of time. So
wow.
I guess we'll have plenty to talk about next month on the show if we're all still here.
Well, you know what? I really hope that we have nothing to talk about next show because somehow things are better.
I know. I long for that day. I long for the day where I used to worry, will I have enough news to cover an hour?
Yeah, well, that's not a worry any longer.
No.
And,
now
again,
it's like, oh,
you know,
God, what stories do I want to cut out so it's not longer than an hour and a half today?
Exactly. I'm trying to cram things into 2 hours when I cover the news. It's impossible.
I
for
hear
me, you.
You
know.
I
I'm
know.
Not as skilled as you.
I know, and I'm a fast talker. So, anyway, Chuck, take care. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
Take care. Bye. Chuck Ocelli. Check out his work, ocelli.com. Listen, there are only a few voices left. I got to tell you, only a few voices left that I actually trust or even want to talk to anymore. So support us. Let other people know, because it's not going to happen through social media. They're on all of us, believe me. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys on Thursday.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.